biggest games.
Oh, my God! Look at the crowd!
The biggest events.
Wow, the crowd is on their feet.
The biggest stories.
This is what you signed up for, Seth.
I thought it would be the best job in the game.
Welcome to the ESPN Esports Podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the ESPN Esports Podcast. I'm Rachel, and I'm joined by Jacob on the desk today, per usual. We have Tyler calling in from LA, and we have Tarika behind the glass producing our podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Doing really well. My four consecutive weeks of travel have come to an end. The last one was one of the best. Got a lot of people that mentioned the podcast over the weekend. So to the people that mentioned the podcast to me at ESL One New York, thank you for listening. Glad to have all of you, and glad that you listen to mine and Rachel and Tyler's long rants about esports. So thank you for listening.
Oh, that was really nice. Tyler, how about you? How are you doing?
I'm just here talking.
Tyler's just working diligently on his four different power rankings that are coming out this week.
I wanted Tyler say, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go there for a second, but I'm just here.
Okay, well, today our focus is supposed to be on the play-in stage of the League of Legends World Championships that starts this week on the 23rd. But first, I want to recommend everyone watch OGN Overwatch Apex match from today. Lunatic High suffered a massive loss to GC Busan, and they weren't just beat. They didn't take a single map in this series, which is crazy. So yeah, they're not infallible after all. But I think the bigger story is GC Busan, definitely a team to watch out for. Jacob, Overwatch.
Yeah, so MBS investment is confirmed, as we reported about a month and a week ago. Got confirmed yesterday, $35 million, relocation to Dallas, the whole shebang. Kenneth Hirsch, the oil magnate that is the president of the George W. Bush Presidential Library and a co-owner of the Texas Rangers, is now officially in the Overwatch League and also a co-owner of Team MBS. One thing I took away from this is kind of just this very large misconception around endemic esports and endemic esports and participation in the Overwatch League or with the League Championship Series. We have seen a significant amount of endemic esports teams who people believe make a lot of money find partners to fund some of these ventures. We've seen Optic, who is one of the most profitable teams in esports, had to find a funder in Neil Liebman, also of the Rangers. We've seen MB take investment from Kenneth Hirsch, and we've seen even Jack from Cloud9 did an investment round for franchising earlier in the year, and then currently in an investment round to do funding for the Overwatch League. So I don't understand when people have this discussion and they talk specifically about international teams in China and in Korea that they don't equate the same thing, because it's literally right in front of them. What I mean by that is people are very much still skeptical of why your SKTs and your Samsungs and your KTs are not in the league. And there's a couple reasons for that. So one, these are technically sports arms of these large telecom and technology corporations that are South Korean based. So they don't necessarily have all the money of the parent companies. And in addition, a lot of the people around these teams, your KESPAs, your OGN, benefit absolutely none from the Overwatch League. They are not involved, and they are third parties, so they don't necessarily like the Overwatch League. In fact, it's taking away from their teams, LW Blue and Lunatic High, at coming to America at the end of the year.
Yeah, but they're still repping Seoul.
Right, but that doesn't benefit OGN or KESPA at all. In fact, that hurts them because you're taking away some of the best talent in your OGN and KESPA competitions and bringing them to America, and they are not going to compete. And Apex at that point becomes like a farm league, right? And so it's really bad for a lot of the South Korean endemic economics, and that's why you don't see a lot of these teams. One, because they don't have money. Or they don't have all the money that their parent companies have, and two, their associates are not necessarily being benefited from being in the Overwatch League.
Right, but I would argue that them joining the Overwatch League actually brings more structure and transparency to the financial situation of a lot of these teams. As we saw with Rally's LW Blue piece, when there's a lack of transparency, a lot of these players get taken advantage of. And honestly, we don't know what's happening in Korea right now. A lot of these players might not even be getting paid. So I'm just saying, I feel like the Overwatch League will bring a good amount of transparency so that these kind of situations don't happen.
I mean, I agree, but that's not how they have played their cards, right? Like, Blizzard doesn't need KESPA. There was a world, especially in StarCraft II, where they did, because Blizzard was not as large of a company in terms of international economics and international infrastructure. They are now. Like, their Chinese partner is NetEase, and that's their distributor. Like, they're giving it to someone.
Still can't get over how weird that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a conflict of interest.
It's a pretty significant conflict of interest, but they have connections in Asia. And why do they need KESPA? KESPA has been very regulatory in a lot of your leagues, LCK and others, for a very long time, and there's absolutely no reason for Blizzard to include them. And that goes vice versa, too. There's no benefit for KESPA to be in these leagues and be involved in these leagues. So,
Tyler, as a longtime follower of the LCK and a lot of KESPA-run leagues, what are your thoughts on this situation?
I'm not the biggest fan of KESPA. KESPA has always been in it for KESPA. I mean, KESPA's done well to hold, you know, the esports scene in Korea up so highly the last decade or so. But like Jacob said, Blizzard doesn't need KESPA. Blizzard is doing its own thing. Blizzard wants its own, you know, its own owners, its own league, its own system, just like how KESPA back in the, you know, early 2000s wanted to create its own structure with StarCraft Brood War and how that was becoming so big in Korea. So I think right now I think even when talking about Lunatic High losing to G2 Busan, like, everything just shows how fledgling the scene is, right? Like, Lunatic High is seen as this unbeatable monster, right? And they lost to a team that no one was thinking of. Everything right now is so new, and there's so many different players coming out of the woodworks that we see, like, teams giving $150,000 to 17-year-olds. Like, no one really knows who's going to be the best players in a year or two from now. So the scene is in such a weird position where, like, the money, it's like we're in the same kind of ecosystem that League of Legends is, but we have 7-8 years of, like, data to look at. We can be like, oh, hey, yeah, Faker is worth this amount of money because he's been at this level for 4 years. But Overwatch League teams are like, this guy's played in 2 tournaments. His ladder ranking's pretty good. Let's give him $150,000. It's kind of a weird scene right now.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about the matchup, a lot of people actually said that because the Overwatch League is slated to start sometime at the end of this year, Lunatic High just don't care. They don't care about Apex, and that's a lot of the argument why it's actually very hurtful for the South Korean endemic scene.
One small thing, I think, that I had a conversation with someone in South Korea a couple weeks ago that I think is worth noting is that there is no benefit to a lot of these teams that are owned by these larger telecom and technology brands to be in the Overwatch League. The Overwatch League is a very American-specific marketing machine right now. So there is no point in SK Telecom, a South Korean-only telecom company, to be in. There's no point for Longju, which is a Chinese streaming website. Same with Africa. There's no reason for KT Rolster. The reason it makes sense for them to be in League of Legends in their own ecosystem is because it advertised to the South Korean consumer, right? The only team that's in the LCK that would benefit from that is Samsung. And Samsung is already a significant part of the technology community in the entire world. So there's really no reason for a lot of these South Korean teams to be in the international sphere because they don't sell their products internationally already.
I mean, I could argue that it would give them a stronger name brand in other countries.
Right, but if SKT doesn't sell cell phones in North America and cell phone service in North America, what benefit is that to them? Can't get a consumer where you don't
sell. Free marketing, dude.
Yeah, but like,
I know, they're sacrificing a lot.
Right, like,
at what point,
like, are you going to convince someone to move to South Korea? Are you going to convince someone to buy your cell phone service in South Korea? Like, that's a big ask.
Well, like I'm saying, hopefully after their 1 year stint in Los Angeles, Lunatic High will be moving to Seoul. So
at that point,
that is where the benefit is.
Right, at that point, it would become profitable and important. You look at Comcast. The Comcast makes a lot of sense to be in this league because Comcast is a huge North American like telecommunications company. And therefore, being in North America and being advertised in North America in their home city of Philadelphia is extremely beneficial to them. That immediate return does not happen for a Korean product that necessarily cannot sell their products internationally.
All right. Well, I want to move on to our main topic for this podcast today. The play-ins begin this week on 23rd, as most of you know, for the League of Legends World Championships. And before we get into the play-in stage, I kind of want to talk about the power rankings that came out yesterday, Tyler. Any thoughts you want to share on the rankings, and what was the discussion like, and was most of the response asking why Khan wasn't first?
Well, I actually had Khan first, so I can't really talk about that with my, contributors. I mean, I think a lot of people are looking at it in a weird way because so it was me, Xander Tor is our Taiwanese expert, Emily Rand, who has, former Yahoo writer, NA and Korean expert, and Kelsey Moser, who is our Chinese Europe expert. We all did our top five for each position, and then we took the points. So if I rate Khan first, he got 5 points. Flame 30, it's 3 points, and so on. And that's how we got our ranking. So a lot of people are getting crazy about it, like, oh, Haunter's overrated. Why isn't, my favorite player the top? Blah, blah, blah. Everyone gets upset over power rankings. Like, right now on Reddit, there's literally a thread on the front page of some guy saying, Here's Alfari beating Flame in Korean solo queue, the third-ranked top laner on the ESPN Power Rankings. Do you know why Flame's ranked third, random Redditor? Because he's been one of the best top laners for 4 years. He was the best top laner in 2013 2014. Did you watch him this summer? He was one of the better top laners in the world. He performed well in the playoffs. And he's an experienced player who knows how to play on the big stage. Yes. And, I mean, the top lane is not the strongest it's been before at Worlds. So, yeah, I'm not saying Flame might not be a top 10 player at Worlds, but he's definitely a top 3, top 4 top laner coming into the event. Sure, Kuve and Khan are head and shoulders above everyone. And if Smeb was here, yeah, Smeb would be number 1 or number 2. But look at the top lane talent isn't that deep. And I'm just, it's just every power ranking you put out, people are going to have their own opinions, and I respect them. If you want to think Soaz or Alfari or Ziv or anyone you want to name is a top five, a top five top laner at Worlds, go ahead. It's just, it's kind of ridiculous how many people get angry over these things.
Tyler, in the same thread, you have people accusing me of getting all my industry news from Reddit, so please don't even take what they have to say with anything more than a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I mean, Reddit's the expert, so...
Yeah, Reddit told me all these millions of dollars figures right in my head. They all came from Reddit. I got them all there.
League of Legends Reddit, I respect in a sense where it's one of the only esports subreddits where it'll actually consume news. And it'll consume good articles. If you write a really good article or if it gets enough traction, it will be read. And I appreciate that. And there are a lot of smart people on Reddit. But then you have people who say, like, who look at every little solo queue game in Korea and says, oh my god, this player, oh my god, look at this one outplay by this one player of this other player. This must mean that they're better.
It's a worrying trend.
A few months ago, Keith McBrief, who Reddit hates on, who's a great guy, who has a lot of potential in my opinion, but everyone hates on Reddit, he was top 10 in Korean solo queue. So, what do you do? If you're gonna, trash someone like Balls for being Diamond 3 and then be like, oh, look at Keith, he's so great, top 10, and then be like, oh, yeah, he's not that great. Reddit's just, it's not one person, it's not a hive mind. League of Legends subreddit has 100,000 plus users on the day. I'm not singling anyone out, but it's just a discussion. Look at the power rankings as a start of a discussion. If you don't agree with my power rankings or Kelsey's power rankings or Xander's power rankings, that's totally fine. I understand that. It's totally cool.
And we often don't agree with each other, to be fair. A lot of writers in the community, like, we respect each other's opinions, so we're not, like, constantly throwing the poo at each other. But like,
right. I just feel like you guys shouldn't lose sleep over this. Do you think Bill Barnwell puts out NFL power rankings and looks at every comment he gets in the thread? No, because he would go crazy if he did that. Holy shit. The vitriol he gets, like, on those power rankings is actually crazy.
To be fair, the interaction's a little bit different for us because things like Reddit exist, and our NFL and our NBA aren't nearly as active, but I do agree with your sentiment.
Yes. Wow, that was... it's okay. We all have a lot of feelings about Reddit, to be fair.
I don't want to hate on Reddit, though. That's the thing. Like, a lot of people come in and say, like, all Redditors are stupid. All Redditors are trash. And they're not. There's a lot of smart people on Reddit. I see a lot of smart threads on Reddit when I lurk it. And I don't post a lot, but I do respect a lot of people on Reddit. But,
here's a good example, Tyler. The competitive Overwatch subreddit and the Overwatch subreddit are two very different things about the same game.
Agreed, yeah.
So the Overwatch subreddit is just memes and characters, whereas the competitive Overwatch subreddit is intelligent esports discussion. That is worth noting.
Exactly.
Right, and if you make something like valuable, it usually gets onto the front page, which is great because that means they consume the product. It's probably like my favorite subreddit so far. That's just my opinion, though. Anyway.
Yes, it is the best subreddit of the esports subreddits. I'm looking at you, League of Legends subreddit. What that will randomly delete, you know, actual useful posts, but then have a thread on, hey, let's rate the size of all the League of Legends characters. That's totally fine.
Oh, do you remember that one post that was like, what if Ezreal kissed Shyvana's ankle.
Yeah.
What was that even?
Something like that, yeah.
Someone was definitely high while writing that, and by the grace of God, it made it to the front page of Reddit. Anyway, let's get into the playing stage. Let's not dwell too long on Reddit. I don't want to give them the unnecessary attention they don't deserve. Anyway, moving on. So play-ins begins this weekend. The format is pretty simple. There's two rounds. The first round is best of one, double round robin. The top two teams from each group moves into round two. Round two, it's a best of five with one team from each winning matchup advancing into the group stage. Let's just run by each of these groups one by one. The playing stage for Group A, we have Team WE, Gambit, Line Gaming. And yeah, those three are the three teams in. For some reason, I thought it was four. But yes, it's those three teams. What can we say about this group? Who's going to make it out? Who can pull off a major upset? Let's get into it.
I actually think Gambit's not a terrible team in this group. I mean, I think WE is a really good team, but I don't necessarily doubt Gambit either. Like, I actually think they're half decent. I think Lion's the worst team in this group.
They're a strong wildcard team, but they just fail to live up to expectations on the international stage.
Yeah, I mean, part of the... Basically, honestly, this Gambit team is basically pieces of old Gambit, Diamond Prox and Edward, mixed with other pieces from that region, from the CIS region. But Kira and PvP Stayhos, who got Worlds experience last year with Albus Nox Luna. So this is not a terrible team, and they certainly proved that they're more than half bad, or half good, however you want to say it. Last year at Worlds, those two players did, and the other two have experience in League of Legends for a long time. So, although I think WE is the better team in this group, I do think that Gambit is not a bad team by any means.
Tyler, Team WE is held in high regard despite being the third seed from China. How do you see them performing during this play-in group?
Team WE should smash this group. They should go undefeated into the best of five stage. I rank Gambit really highly after watching through a lot of the VODs, of the Wildcard teams. I think Gambit has a lot of tools that they can, you know, exert against the weaker Wildcard teams. And I think Lion always comes in with a lot of hype. I think because Lion is the most dominant team in their region for the last 4 years or so, and they just keep on winning and winning and winning. And they're not a bad team. I just think it's a big fish, small pond thing, where if they had better challengers or if they had a chance to play in NA, like, they're a Mexican team, so if they had a chance to play in North America, I think they could get a lot better. But I just think because their level of opponents are so low, they don't have the actual ceiling to get to. Like, they don't have enough challenges to improve. You improve when you have to face a tough challenge, and Lion doesn't really get that in their own region. So I expect it to be Team WE going undefeated, Gambit beating Lion twice, and then Lion, who I think can maybe take a game, maybe one game or so from maybe Gambit, maybe upset Team WE, but I think it will be Gambit and Team WE coming out pretty safely.
Yeah, I thought only one makes it out, though, right?
No, two teams from each play-in group makes it out into the second round, and then one team from that matchup makes it out.
Okay, so yes, I agree with that sentiment, then. It should be Gambit and Team WE. And yes, I think Lyon has what I would like to call Flesh Wolf syndrome for most of the time, because there's a big, big gap between Flesh Wolves and most of their opponents almost every single season. So
that means Lyon's going to upset SKT.
No.
The not. SKT killers.
They're
that's
not
what
that
Flash
good.
That's what Flash Wolves is known for, though.
Yeah, but Flash Wolves plays in a region that's like full of less than mediocre teams besides themselves. So, yeah.
All right, well,
I'll give the Mexican fans credit, though. They are very, very passionate about Lyon Gaming. So I hope they do well. I hope they show the Mexican fans well. Like, I hope they do well.
All right, well, more ESPN Esports in a moment. We're going to talk about Group B after the break, but first we'd like to hear from you. Whether you're new to the podcast or have been listening for some time, we'd like to know how we're doing. Leave us a rating and a review in the iTunes app. And if you like what you hear, make sure you're subscribed so we're easy to find next time. And if you subscribe in the ESPN app, we can send you an alert whenever we have a new episode. And you can always tweet us your thoughts at @ESPN_esports, @RachelYoungGu, @JacobNWolf, and @FionOnFire. And we're back with the ESPN Esports podcast. Let's talk about Group B for a hot second. We have Cloud9, Team One, and Direwolves. Seems like Cloud9 is the clear contender in this instance, but I feel like for them it's also do or die right now. Tyler, what are your thoughts?
Again, I think this is a pretty straightforward group. I think I actually think Team One could upset Cloud9 in a best of one. I think they're a very stout team. They play a really good macro game. They don't have any of those superstars that you would usually think of Brazil, because usually Brazil comes in with a lot of hype. They have one or two players that people are like, oh, wow, this guy mechanically is up there with the best. But this is a team that was in Challenger last year who's made their way up Origin style to Worlds. So their MO is really good macro, really good team play, play as five. They know how to play the map, and they know how to break down teams. And I think that's a really dangerous team to play against coming right into the, you know, the play-in stage. If they have the fundamentals down, they can beat most of these teams in the wildcard stage. And Cloud9 doesn't look that – I mean, obviously they play in a stronger region than Brazil, maybe not by that much, but Cloud9 doesn't look as steady. And even though Reaper did get his visa intact, Cloud9 got screwed over by the planning, because they only had 10, 11 days to practice for Worlds, and they traveled they qualified for Worlds, traveled to Korea for boot camp the same night, and have been on a whirlwind since. So I think it'll be Cloud9 and Team One at the top. Don't know who will come out as the number one seed. I think it might go to a tiebreaker. If it goes to a tiebreaker, I'll probably pick Cloud9, but I think Team One can take a game off them. And I think Direwolves are drawing dead. I like the Oceania region. I think they're a decent team. I think they might get a game, but I think that Cloud9 and Team One are kind of heads and shoulders above in this group.
My favorite thing about this group is actually not Team One and Cloud9. It's actually going to be the jungle matchup between Direwolves and Cloud9. For those that don't know Shurnfire very well, he has been a very well-regarded jungler. He actually tried to come to North America, but was ultimately, secretly, rather communicated to him after he moved, banned by Riot.
For what?
He was banned because he had allegedly ELO boosted in Australia. He is no longer ELO boosting, or allegedly ELO boosting, however Riot found that out. And since joining Direwolves, he has gotten them two consecutive OPL championships, and he is definitely the best member on that team. So, he's young. I believe he's 17 or 18 years old, so him and Contracts actually sounds very fun and a skeptical to look at, especially because Shurnfire, there is an argument to be made that Shurnfire could have actually been on a North American team had the ban not hit him when it did.
I'm so tired of players getting banned for ELO boosting.
That's a different discussion, but I agree.
It's just so... They don't give out the same punishment in other countries like South Korea, and it's just... so annoying to me that, you know, if you're going to make a rule, make sure to enforce it across different regions. But that's just me. But yes, it is a different discussion to be had.
So I think that matchup is very intriguing, because those guys would have played each other in Challenger if Shurnfire wouldn't have been banned. They would have played each other in North American Challenger if Shurnfire wouldn't have been banned when he was. And now they're going to get to play each other at Worlds. And they're both young. This is their first League of Legends World Championship for the both of them, so I think that that's a very intriguing matchup, even though I think Cloud9 is a much better team overall.
All right, let's move on to Group C. We have Fnatic, Young Generation, and Latin Gamers. I feel like it's pretty clear that Fnatic is going to move out, but correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler.
No. This is by far the easiest group that anyone could have drawn into. Fnatic, I mean, I was at the group draw stage, and when Fnatic got that group, everyone was like, okay, Fnatic's in. But that was the easiest group possible. Young Generation is they're not that great. They're pretty much here just because of how good Gigabyte Marines were in the MSI. If Gigabyte Marines didn't do well at MSI, Young Generation wouldn't be here. So they're kind of just here because of how good the Marines are. And Latin Gamers are from the weakest region in the entire, of all 13 regions, they are in the weakest region. And so they're coming in as the weakest team. Young Generation and Latin Gamers are probably the two weakest teams at this event. So if Fnatic drops a game in the group, in the play-in stage, that is not a good sign. They should 4-0 this group and get out with no troubles at all. And that's not, and if they don't, it's going to be a lot of trouble. But I believe Fnatic will 4-0, and then I'm going to guess Young Generation comes out in second place. But whoever gets them in the best of five stage will have a pretty easy time 3-0-ing them or 3-1-ing them.
I think this is what I don't necessarily like about this format, is that throwing some of the... in the case particularly of Cloud9, TeamW, and Fnatic, throwing some of the better regions teams into the play-in doesn't really achieve anything unless there is some kind of big upset this year. I think most of these groups are who battles for second, who battles to make it into the more play-in. And I think unless there is that big upset this year, which is basically predicated on Albus Nox Luna's success last year, is the reason this format change happened as it did. There's no reason to have eliminated the IWC, the International Wildcard Competition that qualified into Worlds, unless one of these teams, whether that be Team One and Direwolves or Gambit and Lion, just like absolutely upset one of the top region players.
Wait until Group D. I'll tell you which team is going to upset everyone. Let's go.
All right, let's talk about Group D, because I have a feeling I know who you're going to mention, and it's probably going to come down between HK and 1907, so why don't you take it away?
1907 is going to make some waves at this tournament. I have been a champion of Frozen, the mid laner of Farron Banshee, for a long, long time. He was on Longju last year with Flame, and they both got benched at the same time, and I was pretty upset. I was like, neither of these players should be on the bench. I think both those players played well when they were given time on Longju, but they were put on the bench, and now look what happened. A year later, Flame's going to Worlds as one of the better top players, in my opinion, going to the event, and Frozen has led a team from who was not even in the discussion for a top team in Turkey to the World Championships, and I think they're a really good team. Move, their jungler, obviously did not have the best time the last time you saw him on the Unicorns of Love, but I think he's improved. Baldrin, their top laner, is experienced and really good. And I think Frozen is definitely maybe a top eight mid laner at the event. And while that might not seem like a huge achievement, the mid lane field for this tournament is stacked. Almost every team has a really competent mid laner. And I think Frozen is talented enough, and the team plays around him well enough, that 1907 is going to top Group D, and I think they're going to be a tough out for whichever group stage group they get into.
And how is Frozen's jungle mid synergy with Move?
They're a lot like Cloud9. Farron Banshee plays a lot like Cloud9, where everyone kind of camps for the mid laner. Frozen is the ace player, and they know it. And he's good enough to actually bring in the results. He's a really good player. I'm a huge champion of Frozen. I think Farron Banshee could be a upset contender when it comes to the group stages. I'm not gonna die on the hill right here and say they're gonna make top eight, but I think they will definitely make the top 16. And I definitely think that they're gonna be a tough out for whoever they play in the group stage.
Any thoughts, Jacob?
No, I agree with them. I think that, again, as I said earlier, this is another group that... Actually, this might be the one group... Correct myself. This might be the one group that actually makes 1907 the champion of the group. In first place, I'm not sold on HKA. I think that much of the Taiwanese region, which they play in even though they're from Hong Kong, I think much of that region is really weak when you go below Flesh Wolves, as I mentioned earlier. So 1907 might have the chance to show that Turkey is better than some of the lower teams in the Taiwanese region. And I think that if I had to put a prediction to it, I would be willing to bet that 1907 is the better team as well. But I think HKA has a pretty easy making it out regardless, because I don't give Rampage or the LJL, I'm sorry, Japan, any credit when it comes to League of Legends. They've been very behind the ball the last few years.
All right, to wrap things up, let's talk about the teams that we think will make it into the group stage. Tyler, why don't you kick us off?
The best team by far in the play-ins is Team WE. Team WE should breeze through the play-in stage. If they lose a game or two, I will be surprised. Second team coming out should be Fnatic. They have by far, again, the easiest group stage. They should deal with Youth Generation and Chaos Land Gamers pretty easily. Third team coming out, I'm going to say Fair and Bonchi.
Okay.
Best team. I think they're the third best team in the play-in stage. I think they're better than Cloud9 right now. I think Cloud9's ceiling is much higher than theirs, but I want to see how C9 does in the play-in stage before giving them any credit going into the top 16. And I think the fourth team to make it out will be Cloud9. It really depends on the matchups, though. You can see a matchup like Cloud9 versus HKA, and if that happens, it's going to be, I don't know. I actually think Hong Kong Attitude's pretty good. I think they're better than AHQ, who I don't give a lot of credit to. I don't think AHQ's that good this year. But I think it'll be Cloud9 coming out in the fourth seed. Got to rep the, you know, North American spirit right there. So those are my four teams coming out of the group stage, or playing stage.
Nice. Jacob?
Mine will be Team WE, Cloud9, Fnatic, and Fenerbahce. I think that will be, depending on the matchups.
No love for HKA in this group?
No.
It's okay, I get it.
I don't think so, because if Fenerbahce does get out and it, like, so it's randomized seeding, right, is how those best fives are filled. So, like, say it's HKA versus Team WE. Oops. Like, or
yeah,
HKA versus Fnatic. Oops. Like, it's all predicated on Fenerbahce, like, getting first in their group, which I actually do think is a possibility. We will see this weekend. So if they do, then I think that HKA is dead, because they're going to probably play Cloud9, Fnatic, or Team WE, and I do agree that Cloud9 is probably not at its best. Still think they're better than HKA.
All right, well, that's a great way to wrap things up. If you want to check out the playing stage, you can go to twitch.com/... What is their handle again? Is it Riot Games?
I think it's just going to be on Riot Games this weekend, yes.
Riot Games starts on the 23rd. Thank you, Jacob, and thank you, Tyler, for joining me. For more esports content, you can check out ESPN.com/esports, or you can follow us on Twitter at Rachel Younggu, at Jacob N. Wolf, and at Theon on Fire. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the ESPN Esports Podcast.